Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9, where we read as follows, in the name of Jesus. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." This is the word of the Lord. In Luther's Large Catechism, he asks and answers a question in his comments on the first commandment. He asks, what does it mean to have a God? And he answers that a God is that from which we expect all good and to which we take refuge in all distress. And so that which you trust in, that which you put your confidence in, is your God. Now then, what do you think is the most popular God around these days? What is it that people trust? In what do they take refuge? What do they treasure in their hearts? What do they want? Of the innumerable idols in which people put their confidence, which do you think is number one? Money. Well, money is a powerful God, and he's a cruel God. He never provides the satisfaction he promises. St. Paul writes to Timothy, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." No, he's cruel. He's implacable, but he has the most devoted followers. He promises everything, but he gives nothing that will last. Jesus named this God Mammon. Mammon is an Aramaic word that translates into English as money. Aramaic, of course, was Jesus' native language. And when he used this word, he didn't use it simply to refer to a medium of exchange, but to money as something that is cherished and loved. The unfaithful steward in Jesus' parable worshipped Mammon. It was his God. He was devoted to this God. He feared and loved and trusted in Mammon above all things. Now, Mammon does not care how you treat your neighbor. While the unjust steward loved money for himself, he showed little concern for his boss's money. What did he care about his boss? So he was fired for wasting his boss's money. What's he going to do now? Well, his boss was a merciful man and didn't simply fire him outright. He gave him time to get his things in order. He certainly did that. Since he had a short time in which he still represented the owner, he quickly went to the owner's debtors and significantly reduced their debt. He took advantage of his boss's basic goodness because he knew the boss wouldn't want to renege on deals that his own steward had made. After all, a steward represents the owner and acts on his authority. So this man, after wasting his boss's goods, further cheats his boss by using his money to bribe his way into the homes of valuable clients. He looks out for himself. He uses people. He uses people in service to his God. And this is what Mammon demands. He demands that you look to others for what you can gain from them. You first determine what your own self-interest is, and then you figure out how others can promote it. So all of your personal relationships are valued in proportion to how they advance your own financial well-being. As long as you look out for number one, Mammon approves, but he'll never really approve of you because he's never satisfied, and neither are those who serve him. One thing needful, this one treasure, teach me, Savior, to esteem. Other things may promise pleasure, but are never what they seem. They prove to be burdens that vex us and chafe us, and true lasting happiness never vouchsafe us. This one precious treasure that all else exceeds gives joy above measure and fills all our needs. Mammon is a liar. But his followers will not reckon with that fact. They can see it if they want to open their eyes and look at what Mammon does to people. They see what Mammon does. They see how he steals affections. He promises joy that ends up as emptiness and pain. They see, but they don't want to see. And in the end, Mammon leaves you dead in the grave, utterly poor, with no possessions, no honor, no home, and no hope. And how many people worship this false god. The steward who wasted and cheated and manipulated his way to financial security was a very clever fellow in his own way. In fact, the boss commended him on his shrewdness, if not his honesty. While his religion gave him nothing to hope for beyond the grave, he was certainly devoted to it while he was alive. Jesus tells this story, and then he encourages us to follow the example of those who worship Mammon. At first, it sounds rather bizarre, but he's not telling us to worship Mammon. Mammon's a false god whose wealth passes away into nothingness. But Jesus is telling us to be as devoted as those who worship Mammon in the use of money, and to use our money in service to the true God, not in service to itself. But notice how Jesus says it. He says, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. The friends of the unfaithful steward in our Lord's parable were not true friends. He used them for his own benefit. They were marks. Jesus isn't talking about giving to those who can give back. He's talking about giving to those who can do nothing in return. Some have falsely concluded that Jesus is saying here that we can purchase heaven by giving to the poor here on earth, but nothing could be further from his meaning. Those who worship money use people to gain more money. Those who worship the true God use money to help people. They give as they have received. They don't give to others to gain for themselves. They give to others because God has given to them. Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. The God of Mammon tells you to take for yourself, and he leaves you broke. The God who sent us his Son tells you to give to others, and he makes you rich. You don't lose what you have by giving it away. We have nothing to earn by doing good. And that is what makes us Christians free to do good. Jesus talks about making friends for ourselves by unrighteous mammon. He is saying that what is used in service to a false god, in fact, belongs to God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and He is our Father. For the sake of His dear Son, He's made us His own children, the eternal Son of the Father, by whom all things were made, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, joined His own creation. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He became our brother. He gave of Himself throughout His holy life. He gave without expecting anything in return, and He did not stop giving. He gave Himself up for all sinners on the cross, and there was that gift, the gift that was given unparalleled in the history of the world. He gave His own innocence on behalf of all humanity as the holy offering to God. And in His innocence, He bore the sin of the world. He suffered for every single greedy, self-centered, idolatrous, money-loving narcissist in the whole world. He suffered for everyone. He's the world's redeemer. He's your redeemer. A redeemer not only pays what you owe. Jesus paid what you owed. He offered His holy life to God in your stead. But a redeemer also sets you free. You don't need to use others to get what you need, because Christ gives us all we need. He gives us present peace with God. He gives us freedom from judgment. He gives us the forgiveness of all our sins. He gives us deliverance from every kind of evil. He gives us eternal life. All of this Jesus gives us in His holy word. Now, the world values money and the things that money will buy, but this world and everything in it belongs to our Father in heaven. And when He gives us His Son, He gives us the world. And so we use material things for eternal purposes. When we show generosity to our brothers and sisters in need, we are showing it to God. He's the one who looks after our interest. Christians will welcome Christians into heaven. The mercy God shows us here on earth shines brighter than any mercy we show, but in His great condescension, our Father in heaven accepts our merciful deeds, and He cherishes them just as He cherishes us. Every gift we give in Jesus' name is more valuable than any amount of money can measure. God treasures our gifts for the sake of His gift of His dear Son. His holy precious blood has purchased us. The mercy we show as Christians testifies to Christ, and this is why God loves what we Christians do to help one another in need. He loves His only begotten Son. We thank You for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We'd like to invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish. We have divine service every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, at 9:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. You can visit us on the World Wide Web, ChristForUs.org, ChristForUs.org. We'd love to hear from you. And on that website, you'll find written and audio sermons that have been aired before. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.